Promote Slug at community events all summer long as a member of our marketing team. Head to slugmag.com/opportunities to apply today.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. Hi, I'm Rob Reinfurt from the group Night Marcher. Night Marcher's most recent release is called Us and Them. I finished the record late fall, and I've released two videos now and one single, and I'm going to release another two videos. We're planning on a release at the end of June. We've been tempted for too long. I had a record that I had finished like sometime in 2014 or 2015. And I didn't have a name for the group. It was kind of a solo effort, the record. And I legitimately struggled with the name for like over a year. And then like a close friend of mine, I guess more of a mentor, she's like, just hear me out on this. For whatever reason, I'm envisioning Hawaiian folklore. And so I actually went down to the Salt Lake City downtown library and I looked up Hawaiian folklore. And then I went to the section and there's like this huge book. I'm like, huh, there's a huge history here. I pull out the book and I just opened it up to a random page and goes into the story about the Night Marchers, which are essentially the ghosts of old Hawaiian warriors that come back to ward off evil spirits. Everyone has the same account of their introduction to them. They always hear these loud rhythmic drums. They hear a loud pounding drum in the distance. And I just started kind of reading into it, and I thought it was really cool, and the name really resonated with me, and I couldn't pinpoint why. I'm like, why does that name sound so familiar? And so I decided to use the name Night Marcher, and I kind of like went ahead and got the website. And then it hit me like a few weeks later. Night Marcher is the name of a track by a band called Modesky Martin & Wood. First time I saw Modesky Martin & Wood was in 97. I'd never seen a band do what they do live. They like instantly became my favorite band at the time, so much so that I ended up buying a drum set. And that kind of led me down the path of wanting to play a lot of music. In 2009, I had gotten into some trouble with the law. I just got knocked upside down. And so I started to write songs. It was the first time ever that I really wrote songs. I wrote a ton of songs. I spent my 20s just partying and skiing. And I wanted to pursue music. I gave it a try, but to be honest, it was half-ass. I got tied up in some bad shit and made some poor decisions. Essentially, I was in California packaging marijuana and part of a kind of a cross-country operation. I was led there by greed, you know, it's like an easy way to make a buck. And I was like, oh man, if I could make some money, then I could maybe focus on music full time. And the bust went down. A couple months later, one of the key people in it rolled on me and I got brought into it on conspiracy charges, which is really easy to indict folks. That was the catalyst for me to write songs and to write lyrics in particular. I was making music before that all happened. It was more groove-oriented, instrumental. I was doing a lot of like drums and bass, not really playing guitar. I pretty much got bored with guitar, but I used guitar because it was easier to write melodies. That's when I started writing lyrics, and it was because I couldn't go to bed. It was just like a way to air my thoughts because I'm a pretty private person, and that event not many people knew about. I was basically acting as my own sounding board, and I was just writing all the time, and I was doing a lot of traveling back and forth from Salt Lake to New York. So I would write lyrics on the plane, bring my laptop, and you can turn your keyboard into a keyboard on your laptop with some programs, so I'd write melodies on that. The train ride from New York to Albany goes along the Hudson River. It's a really cool train ride. I'd write songs on there. I wrote an entire song on there called Penn Station, which is the station that you leave New York from to go to Albany. That's what really dove me into songwriting, which is music, because you can't just be, you know, a drummer jamming out and hope to make any progress with creating records. My dad is a singer, but he's really good, so I've always kind of been like shy to sing in front of him or to sing around him. And so I think maybe I kind of like learned by osmosis. And then an old girlfriend heard me singing in the shower, just like singing along to the radio. And she's like, you could sing, like you should sing. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll sing then. Because nobody else is writing lyrics and nobody else is stepping it up and nobody else is writing songs. So I guess I'll just do it myself. It's kind of always been music has been this thing where it's like, can't find a bass player? Well, I'll play bass. Or can't find anybody to write a song? Well, I'll write the song. It's kind of been like a really do-it-yourself thing for me. I end up splitting my time across a lot of different instruments. I have like musical ADD. I'm kind of a hack of all trades, a master of none. I think I've always gravitated towards the drums, even when I wasn't a drummer or didn't have drums. I just recently bought a piano because I have a house and I'm like, I have space for it. And I've always wanted to have like an old upright piano. I just got sound. And so I just went on KSL, and there's this guy, and everybody in Salt Lake should know about him because he lives down in Orem area, and his name is Stumpy. He has one leg, and he's blind, and he buys and sells pianos, and he gets all the old school pianos, and he like retunes them, and he like sets them up. And when I went to go pick out my piano at his place, there was at least 25 pianos in his house. So I picked out my piano, it was $400, and then he delivered it for free. And it was like a riot because this guy was like, yeah, I'm going to come by in the evening and drop it off. But he unloads it from the truck. I'm like, do you need a hand? And he's like, no, we got this. This is what we do. He comes into the house and he's like walking through. And I'm like, this corner might be a problem. And he's snapping his fingers and talking. He's like, it's not going to be a problem. He knows like the space by the reverb off the walls. This guy is like wicked sharp. So I got this great piano for $400, and I'm like, well, I should start playing piano now. And that's what brought about the second record. I wrote 8 out of the 11 tunes on piano, and that's pretty much the reason why I have a new record coming out, just because I bought a piano. So the tune Lucid Air came about. I wrote that on piano as well. I guess you could say it was inspired by Bill Evans, who's a piano player. He used to play with a lot of folks, but most notably Miles Davis. I've always liked his phrasing and the simplicity of his style. So when I finally bought the piano and moved it into my house, instead of buying a book and learning chord shapes and being a student about it, I'm just really bad at that. I'm bad at practicing. I don't practice. I kind of just do everything by feel, which sometimes hurts me, and sometimes it's helpful. So I basically put on Kinda Blue. Kinda Blue is a Miles Davis record. It's slow, so it's easy to kind of pick up the tunes, and it's relatively simple. I would just kind of like play along to that record, and that's when I was learning from what he was doing. I would just try to mimic his chord shapes. The lyrics weren't coming to me for this record at the time like they had in the past, mainly because life was pretty good and stable. I ended up leaving all the lyrics to the very end of the record. So I like wrote all these tunes, but I had no lyrics for them. And I booked some sessions with Andrew Goldring to mix the record and to work on it. It was last summer. A friend of mine, Tim, works for the airlines, and he's like, I have some standby seats for you. Let's meet up in Barcelona. I'm like, sweet. Standby doesn't always work out. So I was like, I can't get to Barcelona. He's like, I can't get to Barcelona either. And so I ended up in Zurich. When I got to Zurich, I just got like a train pass and I started just rolling around. And then I just ended up riding the train for like 4 days straight. And it turned out to be great because I had all this time. So I started writing lyrics on the train again. And that's where I wrote the lyrics to that song. And it's basically lucid air, like a lucid dream in a way where you're aware of your environment and the air around you. I come out of this train and I'm in a little town called Brunnen, 2 sheets of paper folded up, and they were sitting on top of my backpack, and this train just buzzes by going super fast through the station. It didn't have a stop there. And then I'm like, where did that paper go? Where did the paper go? And I guess the train had just blew it away. And I was like, oh my God, holy shit. There was like lyrics to all these songs on there. My memory is terrible. So I was like, not gonna memorize them. I just written them. It's 2 pieces of paper, but I tell you, I was writing like tiny, tiny, tiny. There's a lot of lyrics and ideas on there. And I'm kind of like starting to freak out. I'm looking in the tracks and then I'm like, oh dude, did it go over that wall? There's like a 25-foot high wall that's like on the other side of the tracks. I'm like, how am I going to get into those yards, you know? Then another train comes flying by and legitimately it kicked up the lyrics wherever they were. I have no idea where they were, but I legitimately saw them falling down. It was falling just like a leaf or a feather would. I was elated to have them come back. And then as soon as that fell, I was like, that's the line. Lost the words in Brunnen, saw them falling from the sky, and caught them on the next train ride. Pretty literal. I guess if you don't know, then it seems totally not literal. You're like, what is that? The first single that I released off the record is a song called Gotta Find Your Way Back. I finished the record, I listened to the record, and my intention with this record over the last record was to make it a little bit more upbeat. It's groove-oriented, but it's slow, and a lot of the songs are dark, and they're not upbeat. It's hard for me to write upbeat songs. I don't get to choose what I write. It happens. And so I just let it happen. I just picked up the bass and I just started doing something that was a little bit faster, a little bit more upbeat, and the song wrote itself. I don't play a lot of drums on this record. I think I only play drums on three tracks. Sean Thomas, drummer from The Weekenders, plays on most of the record. And then there's a track where actually Andrew plays drums, Andrew Goldring. And then there's another friend of mine from California, Stuart Johnson, who plays drums on one track too. So there's a few drummers on the album. And this song, I found some old drum beat ideas that I had recorded. And there was like a snippet of it that I really liked. And I grabbed it and I looped it. And that was the main drums for this track. When I was finishing this song, I actually brought Sean in to kind of lift the chorus. And so this is the only track I've ever done that has two drummers on it. The song really just wrote itself. The drum beat was upbeat. I was like, all right, I gotta make an upbeat bass line. The bass line was upbeat, and that pretty much drives the entire song. So this fulfills its space in having at least one upbeat positive song on the record. I'm going to release a new track with you guys for the podcast, and that's called No More Yes Man, and that's from the latest album, Us and Them. So you can find us everywhere, pretty much online, from SoundCloud to Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. The name is Night Marcher, two words, Night Marcher. Everything, all our videos, all our new singles, and all of our content is also on the website, which is nightmarchermusic.com.
Can't stand another Tuesday night in? Use Slug's daily calendar to fill your social calendar for you.